This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It's Kelvin Wong, Oanda Senior Market Analyst in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon over at my end from Asia, and good morning to you, Johnny. Good to be back at the show.
Yeah, we haven't spoken for a week now. And of course, between then and now, we've had the dramatic events of the Middle East and what looks like an actual war now between Israel and Iran, which really started in the early hours of Friday morning. Of course, that had a massive effect on the oil price. When I spoke to trader Nick on Friday afternoon, we were talking about price rises somewhere between 10 and 13%. Perhaps, but things have calmed down quite a bit. Obviously, when markets opened where you are this morning, they were reacting once again to all that news and what's happened over the last 48 hours. So why do you think oil has come down in price in that intervening period? And also, how are markets at the beginning of this week?
Yeah, so let's take a look at we talk about that so-called reaction move today in Asia session. So the West Texas crude oil right now, as we are looking at my screen, is actually down marginally, down close to about 1%. The Brent crude is down by negative 0.8%. So bear in mind that we have a rather significant increase in oil prices on last Friday or last week. So taking into account of the entire week of return of oil prices, it was for West Texas crude oil, it was up by 12.4%. The bulk of it came on Friday. So what we could see over here is that in general, it could be short-term speculators taking profit, given the fact that number one, a short-term momentum indicator has hit a kind of an extreme overbought level after last Friday, a very sharp rally. But bear in mind over here is that we could now start to see in the change of the trend on oil prices, because at the start of this year, most traders or market strategists or analysts that covering the oil market, including myself, we do expect oil prices to remain in the range of, using West Texas crude oil as a benchmark, the low end about $50 per barrel. Top end should be around $65/$70 per barrel. So after last Friday dramatic up move up, potentially right now we are looking at the WTI oil price to actually could potentially go to $80 to $90 per barrel, given the fact that technically speaking, there is a clear bullish breakout on last Friday based on the closing price on last Friday and the entire week of the positive price action breaking above that $70 per barrel on the West Texas oil. And do not forget over here is that even though technically, yes, the price action is pointing to a trend change from sideways to moving up towards the $80 to $90 per barrel. And from a geopolitical risk standpoint over here, that things are still very fluid, yeah? Because right now, yes, we still see retaliatory move between Israel and Iran. But at this juncture, at this point in time, several oil supply choke point in the Middle East is still working at this point in time, especially the Strait of Hormuz over here. There is no indication of friendly nation that towards Iran that is closing that strait, which is very important, where that is the strait where majority of the oil shipment goes throughout the rest of the world. The question over here is we got to see the testing the patience of US administration right now. Because do not forget over here is that firstly, US President Trump claimed that the attack by Israel is unilateral. That means it's not being encouraged by US. But on Sunday, in his one of his tweet social media posts, he mentioned that if this thing escalates further, US may get involved. All right. So if US gets involved at this point in time, the whole jigsaw puzzle may change. And that situation may potentially see a tightening of oil supply from up from the Middle East, where it could potentially see higher oil prices. And do not forget, that is not what the aim of the US administration after Trump's personal visit to Saudi Arabia not long ago.
Indeed, and there are so many possible scenarios. We've got the G7 meeting today, of course. There will be people who will be concerned about, you mentioned, in the Straits of Hormuz, which carries so much of the globe's oil through it, whether or not oil refineries in Iran will be affected, whether the Iranians will attack oil refineries. That's also been cited as a possibility. And with all these central banks meeting this week, of course, over here where I am here in the UK, we've got the Bank of England meeting on Thursday. We're not expecting a cut in interest rates, but with this concern about the oil price leading to higher inflation, just when, as you said, we thought we were going to see inflation going down because we've got oil at the lower end, 50 to 60, which is historically fairly low in comparison to recent years. So central banks will be concerned, weren't they, really? And I think if there was any chance of a cut in rates by the Bank of England, for instance, this Thursday, that's now gone now with all the uncertainty around.
Yes, precisely. So we're talking about central banks' monetary policy cutting cycle or cutting stances, or I'll put it a bit, will be pretty much challenging right now. So I believe that Bank of England may continue to be putting on a wait and see approach again. So, but prior to that unfortunate incident of this ongoing Israel and Iran conflict, there could be a potential, dovish hole for this coming Thursday Bank of England meeting, because don't forget, we do have a rather weak monthly GDP data out last week, and also a rather sluggish labor market in UK. So, market is not, at that point in time is potentially looking for two interest rate cuts to come in Q3 and Q4 of this year, very similar to what market is pricing for the US side of the story as well. So given the current situation right now about rising inflation pressure coming back into the picture from external events, which is a elevated oil price, Bank of England may be put in the corner to actually retreat back to a more like a wait and see approach. So That's one thing. And also, interestingly, we have the US Federal Reserve as well. So for the Fed this time around, they will release their dot plot, right? So every 3 months, they'll release this latest dot plot that consists of their forecast on inflationary trend and GDP growth, all right? And as well as what their expectation to be in terms of the Fed funds rate to be from short-term, medium-term, and long-term. So the previous dot plot, the US Federal Reserve penciled in at least potentially two interest rate cuts before 2025 ends. So that's in line with market expectation now. Okay, so market is expecting the first cut this year to come in September, then the second cut to come in December FOMC meeting. But what's interesting over here is that will there be a change of inflation upgrade in the latest dot plot, given what we see right now in the current situation where oil prices ran up higher. And not forgetting, we also have that US, we call it a tariffs drama that is still ongoing. There's still no certainty on that. And do not forget over here is that some of the tier one US data like ISM services PMI for May actually contracted for the first time in almost a year in May. And we have seen some subcategory like new orders of ISM services PMI component contracting at a much faster pace. So will there be a chance that there will be acknowledgement from Fed Chair Powell press conference that right now there is some data point in US is indicating a slowdown in economic growth that could potentially see a much more softer US labor market. So if we portray that kind of, what we call it, tonality, market may view it as a dovish hole. That means anything the Fed could actually change if the situation starts to temper off in the Middle East.
We were talking about tariffs for weeks, probably months. Interesting how the uncertainty now that we're seeing is not necessarily focused entirely on tariffs anymore, where it was, and it seemed to be the key factor. Now we're looking at geopolitical events in the Middle East. In fact, it almost seemed as if the tariff situation was being sorted out with negotiations ongoing between the United States and China, United States and the EU. The uncertainty continues. And as far as the interest rates are concerned, Kelvin, I mean, there will be those who are arguing in this country that we should cut rates because you mentioned the low GDP growth figures that we had a few days ago. And this uncertainty in terms of the Middle East is not going to help confidence either. Yes, inflation may come up because the oil price has risen, but then we're going to get stagflation. I wonder how many people in the Monetary Policy Committee, those members, will vote for a cut, probably not many, maybe one or two, and how many decide to go for a hold. It'll be very interesting to see what the vote is between the nine members of the MPC.
Yes, precisely. I think we need to see the composition about how the Doves versus the Hawks, you see, because I believe that at this point in time, both are fairly balanced. And even the boss himself, Bank of England Governor Bailey, he's more skewed towards a neutrality stance. Yes, he did highlight, last meeting that stating that he may change his stance given the fact that if numbers starts to see approaching towards that slower growth situation, which evidence has started to show in the latest GDP number and the latest labor market number.
So, Kelvin, we've talked about the Bank of England, the Fed, but we also have the latest from the Bank of Japan tomorrow.
Yes. So what's interesting for Bank of Japan point of view is that Bank of Japan they have been signaling that now it's time is ripe to actually end negative interest rate 2 years ago, and now we are in a slowly pace of gentle incremental interest rate. All right. So given that they have started to raise rates this year to 0.5% based on the short-term policy rates over here. But bear in mind that over here is that last month there was actually a big volatility shock in the sovereign bonds market globally, especially the longer end tenure, driven by that strong uptick in the 30-year Japanese JGB bond yield that shoot up all the way to a record high of 3.2%. So right now it slightly went down to below 3%, and that trigger move of that 30-year JGB bond yield causes a big spike in the longer tenure yield globally in the UK gilts, the 30-year US Treasury bond yield as well. So that was actually a major readjustment of that positioning by market players. So I do reckon that potentially there could be some guidance to actually tone down the pace of this 30-year JGB yield upside pressure via is potentially there could be a guidance given that they may slow down the pace of JGB purchase reduction. At this moment, every quarter, Bank of Japan is reducing its JGB purchases by a quantum about 400 billion per quarter, so aiming for a pace up to 2.9 trillion eventually. So this 400 billion per quarter will last through the first quarter of FY 2026, which is next year. So if BOJ starts to guide the market, saying that they will actually reduce this reduction by below 400 billion, that could be an encouraging sign stating that they are trying to tame the rapid rise in the 30-year JGB bond yield to actually slow down the pace of increase. So that could be pretty much encouraging from market participants' perspective. But however, how does it impact the dollar yen? So I believe that the dollar yen right now is trapped between two factors. Number one, the yen strength is actually being supported by this ongoing geopolitical risk premium increase that we started on last Friday. So you look at the 10-year JGB yield, not 10, not 10, pardon me, my apologies, the looking at the dollar yen rate, okay, they can't break above the 145 psychological level. And right now it's inching back down to the 144 level. So I reckon, given the fact that yes, opposite factors are at play. Number one, heightened geopolitical risk premium is actually supporting a stronger yen. But on the other hand, on tomorrow's BOJ meeting, the Bank of Japan may actually potentially reduce the pace of reduction from their JGB program. So that could actually see some form of yen strength being seep out. So potentially in the near term, the dollar yen could trade in the range between 142.35 and 145 figure level.
Kelvin Wong in Singapore, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.